blessed that thousands were fed. I bet he ran home and said,
won't believe it when I tell you all that I saw Jesus do. I still can't get over out of all the people he could choose to help me.
Could use a little gift that he gave him. Tell others all about a Savior and his amazing grace. And if you ask him, he'd say,
won't believe it when I tell you all that I saw Jesus do.
How many of them there usually is? There's 50 people up there. There was 19 that got to go because people had other things that, you know, they had. And I was like, y'all got to sing loud, please, when you get up there, don't hold back. I mean, I'm telling the kids just over and over and over. And we get up there before church. We went out, first off, this church had asked and asked and asked for us to come. Just a little old church. On their board, they said the last Sunday that had 19. So we went. We got up there, warmed up a song before church, and I promise you, it sounded like there was 100. I mean, I was like we were about to fall over up there. And it was the Lord taking that little bit, and he used our lunch. Can I tell the whole story?
Well, yeah.
So this pastor is so encouraged by our kids and us coming and ministering. Mike Long was preaching, and Penny was there. And anyway, they just didn't want us to quit singing. They were just so, I can't even tell you how it encouraged that church, that little old church, out in the middle of, listen, I've been to places to sing, but that was out there now. Was up on top of a mountain and a ridge and a, but the people, it just like it, two singers had canceled on them this week for their revival. Like lots of things had happened. Found out a lady in the church had cancer. Just they were kind of discouraged. The pastor was discouraged. And he used our little lunch, the little 19 of us, to go help this pastor in this church. And I just found it so humbling. Like, I wanted to run home and tell y'all about it. And so this little tiny church, the pastor, he got up at the end and he said, "This, they don't just go sing. It's a ministry. These kids have a ministry and they go help people." And he said, I don't do this, but I want to help them. And he said, "Brother so-and-so, get that little basket and go stand back there at the door." And remember, there's only 19 last Sunday. So they sit back there at the door. We all go out. And Trista said, before her and Jerry left, they just dumped that basket upside down in her purse. And they got in the car or wherever they did and counted it. It was $490-some for these kids, for our kids, to further this ministry from that little church that God encouraged. And I just found that, you know what, to be honest, I thought, I'm nobody, but I thought, man, Jerry probably ought to just us not go because there's only 19 of us. But never think that, because truly little is much when God's in it. Because we're nothing. But it was an amazing thing. And I just want you to know, all y'all were represented because it was our kids, our choir. And I just praise the Lord for it because it's this song. Because we took our little fishes and bread. I love him.
This old world, sometimes I just need a word from heaven that everything's okay. I try to walk by faith, but sometimes I'm so afraid, and I cannot see how God can make a way. But then I troubles, they are real, and I know you feel that God's forsaken you. But child, don't lose your faith. He is working while you wait, so just hold on. He will bring you through. He's never failed me, never left. Thank you.
and he won't start today. He's never failed us. That's correct. But he's not going to quit on us. He's going to keep doing it. He's going to keep doing it. See, it's easy for me to believe he's going to take care of you. But sometimes I have lapses of faith when it comes to taking care of me. But no, he's going to take care of me, and he's going to take care of you. He's never failed. He can't fail, and he's not going to fail. He's going to keep doing it. He's going to keep doing it. Brother Matt, would you pray for us, please? Okay, what book are we in? 1 John's correct. In chapter 1, we learned about the three misconceptions of man. It's a misconception that man can fellowship with God and still walk in sin. That's a misconception. Can't do it. It's a misconception that man is not totally sinful. That's a misconception. See, I had the best parents in the world, but I was lost. I was lost. I needed a perfect, sinless Savior. It's a misconception that man could become sinless and righteous on his own. It's a misconception. He needs a Savior. He needs a substitute. Chapter 2, we saw some tests, 7 tests, to prove that one really knows God. In chapters 3 and 4, we saw some tests that prove that one really loves God. And now we're in chapter 5. Well, we started into it a little bit last week. Some proofs that one really believes in God. Some proofs. It's in the Bible. 1 John 1:5. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born of God. Now, I know I said this last week, and I don't want to oversimplify things, but in the 70s, 1970s, whenever I got saved, it was a common phrase, you must be born again. I'd heard it a lot, but I was like Nicodemus. It was Greek to me. I didn't understand it. But then the Lord saved my poor, wicked soul. And about a year later, I was reading through my Bible. Maybe the first time I ever read it through, someone told me I was supposed to read the Bible every day then. And it helped me. I'm glad someone told me that. And I was just reading along, minding my own business, and I come across this and said, whosoever. I said, well, that'd be me, wouldn't it? I could fit in there. I can be a whosoever. By the way, it's still whosoever. There's not some going to hell and some going to heaven. God didn't figure that out in the beginning. It's your choice. You have a choice. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. I said, well, hey, that's me. I just did that a while back. Is born of God. Born again. Is born again. Now, the Bible believe is kind of special. Let's go over and make sure we got that right. Over in St. John, chapter 1, verse 12, it tells it real clear. To believe in the Bible is to receive. St. John 1, 12, but as many as received him. Has anyone received him? Well, guess what? To them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, in the Bible, the ones that believed on his name, they're the ones that received him. The ones that received him, they're the ones that believed on his name. It's in this verse. Let me read it again for you. It says, but as many as received him, to them gave he power to become the sons of God, even to them that believe on his name. Now, the ones that believed on his name are the ones that received him. And the ones that received him are the ones that believed on his name. That's a Bible definition for believe, is to receive. Now, a lot of times we'll go around knocking on doors, talk to somebody about the Lord, and you get down to it, you ask them, would you like to receive the Lord? They got a lot of excuses. No, I'm not ready. I think I'll wait. Not today. Whatever. But if they don't receive, it's because they don't believe. That's the reason. The Bible believe is to receive. Back to 1 John now. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ is born again, born of God. And everyone that loveth him that begat, loveth him also that is begotten. Verse 2, by this we know that we love the children of God when we love God and keep his commandments. For this is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not grievous. For whatsoever is born of God, born again, overcometh the world. And this is the victory that overcometh the world, even our faith. And it's not our faith in the Baptist. It's not our faith in being baptized. It's not faith in keeping the commandments. It's not faith in being good. It's faith in Christ, back in verse 1. Whosoever believeth that Jesus is the Christ. That's the Bible faith it's talking about here. Then verse 5, it says, who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? Anyone in here believe that Jesus is the Son of God? Well, guess what? You're an overcomer. This is the first, this chapter is the first time you find this word overcometh in the Bible. You only find it in Revelation after that. We're going to look at those verses in a minute. You find overcome, but not overcometh. Not overcometh. Well, let's see about this overcometh. Revelation 2:7. You said you believed. You said you received. You said you're an overcomer then. And so guess what's going to happen to you? Revelation 2:7, he that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh. Anybody in here an overcomer? Amen. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the tree of life, which is in the midst of the paradise of God. Now, after Adam and Eve fell and they got expelled from the Garden of Eden, God put an angel with a flaming sword to guard the garden so they could not get back in and eat of the tree of life because they would live forever in this body. You know, one of the worst things that could happen to us is if we could not die. If you had to live forever in this body, it would be bad. It would be bad. Now, some of you know what I'm talking about. Fall down now takes a long time to get well. It's not like it used to be. But anyway, then everyone that's received Christ, that's who's going to be there, the believers, Bible believers. And then we're going to eat of the tree of life. Of course, we're already going to be living forever. We're going to be in the paradise of God. How about verse 11 right there in Revelation 2? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. See, everybody that's born once is going to die twice. And everybody that's born twice is going to die once. Only die once. One day this blood pump's going to stop. But if you hear that Brother Rick died, don't you believe it. I'll be more alive than ever. He that overcometh shall not be hurt of the second death. How about verse 17 right there? He that hath an ear, let him hear what the Spirit saith unto the churches. To him that overcometh will I give to eat of the hidden manna, and will give him a white stone. You remember the lesson about the white stone? You're not going to get blackballed. You're going to get the white stone. All he's got in his pouch is white stones. When we get here to this point, you're going to get the white stone, and you're going to be in like flint. There are no black balls there. You're going to get to eat of the hidden manna. You'll be given of the white stone and a stone with a new name. Might be a nickname written which no man knoweth, saving he that receiveth it. How about verse 26? We're talking to overcomers now. Any overcomers in here? Amen. This is what you're going to get. We're just reading the last will and testament to see what all we're getting in on. This is the New Testament here. Verse 26, and he that overcometh and keepeth my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. Now, I like that that song where I've never got over that he picked me. I haven't got over he picked. Where I live are 17 houses. And he picked me. Hey, guess what? He picked you. All you need to do is receive him. He picked you. He picked everybody. He made a way for all. For all. All the sins of all the world, of every human, for all the ages was put on him. And he picked you. He picked you. I'd go ahead and pick him. That's what I'd do. That's what I would do. To him that overcometh and keep my works unto the end, to him will I give power over the nations. You might be a king or a governor or a mayor, a ruler. Chapter 3, don't get too excited, it's for overcomers. Chapter 3, verse 5, He that overcometh the same will be clothed in white raiment. I've got a robe, and it only fits me. It's on order. It don't fit Teddy. It only fits me. He's got his own. We'll get a white raiment, white robe. To him that overcometh shall... He that overcometh the same shall be clothed in white raiment, and I will not blot out his name out of the book of life. By the way, I believe everybody's name got put in the book of life, those that don't receive get blotted out later. But he's not going to blot your name. You're an overcomer. But I will confess his name before my Father and before his angels. How about verse 12, Revelation 3:12? We're talking to overcomers. Him that overcometh will I make a pillar. You ever been a pillar? In the temple of my God. And he shall go no more out, and I will write upon him the name of my God and the name of the city of my God, which is New Jerusalem, which cometh down out of heaven from my God, and I will write upon him my new name. God's going to give you a pet name. Verse 21, to him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne. Must be a big throne. Hold your finger right there and let's see. We're coming back. Isaiah 66, 1. Isaiah 66, 1. Thus saith the Lord, heaven is my throne, and the earth is my footstool. Where is the house which ye build unto me, and where is the place of my rest? Yeah, it's big enough. Don't worry. It's big enough for each one of us. Back to Revelation again. 3:21. To him that overcometh will I grant to sit with me in my throne, even as I also overcame and am set down with my Father in his throne. The last one here now, Revelation 21, verse 7. He that overcometh shall inherit all things. I told you we was reading the last will and testament. You're going to get the sun, moon, stars, equator, North Pole, the elephants. Yeah, the Grand Canyon. You're going to get everything. Don't worry about it. We're going through. Overcomers, back to 1 John now, verse 5, 1-5. To him that overcometh the world. Who is he that overcometh the world but he that believeth that Jesus is the Son of God? There's been plenty that's overcame before, plenty of examples for us to watch. Abel, he overcame the pride of the world. He didn't offer up the works of his hands like his brother did. He did the Bible way, like God told him to, and brought a blood sacrifice. Abel overcame. He overcame the pride of the world. Enoch, he overcame the progress of the world. Now, Enoch didn't have a computer, but there's no way they're dumber than we are. He knew. They had skills. They had science and art and commerce. Workers of brass. I was just looking, even this morning, at some of those temples, those old temples in Rome and Greece. I don't know how they did. And the pyramids. They didn't have a computer, but they knew what they was doing. They knew what they was doing. And Enoch overcame the progress of the world. Jacob overcame the perspective of the world. He didn't look at it like Esau did. He looked at he wanted that birthright, and along with the birthright came some privileges. Privileges. But along with that came some responsibilities. And Jacob wanted it all. Enoch didn't. He wasn't interested. His brother or Esau didn't. He wasn't interested. Jacob wanted it all. He wanted the privileges and the responsibility. To be the priest of the house, it was the responsibility after the father passed. He wanted it all. Noah overcame the pollutions of the world. He was in a world where every imagination of man was wicked and evil continually. And Noah didn't want in on it. He escaped. He was an overcomer. An example for us to overcome. Moses overcame the power of the world. He said he would rather suffer affliction with the children of God than rule in Egypt, than to be a son, a prince in in Egypt. Abraham, he overcame the prospects of the world. He was wealthy, and then he worshiped Melchizedek, a picture of the Lord Jesus, type of the Lord Jesus. And Abraham, he didn't fall for the prince of Sodom's temptation to be made richer. Sarah, she overcame the paralysis of the world. She was paralyzed. Her body was paralyzed. She couldn't have a baby. But she believed God, and she had a miracle baby. It was a miracle birth. Sarah did. Moses' parents, by faith, overcame the prince of the world and hid Moses in the ark. And they were overcomers. Isaac, he overcame the passions of the world. And his dad took him up on the mountain to sacrifice him. And he submitted. Rahab overcame the punishment of this world. She escaped when they marched around the city and the walls fell down at Jericho. Overcomers. You're an overcomer this morning. Who is he that overcometh but he that believeth that Jesus is the Christ? That's the overcomer. Overcomer. Now back to 1 John. Chapter 5, verse 6. This is he that came by water and by blood. And it is the witness, the Spirit that beareth, capital S Spirit, that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. This is he that came by water and by blood. Now, I know we've said this a few times, but don't forget, baby Jesus was born of a virgin. God was his father. The Holy Ghost put the seed there. There's no blood passes from mother to baby. Only oxygen and waste and nutrition. All the blood comes from the father. God was the father. That was God's blood. Acts 20:28 says that. It was God's blood. That's what bought the church. That's what made us overcomer. There wasn't one drop of Mary's blood in baby Jesus. That was God's blood. That's why on the first Easter, that was God's blood that ran down the cross. That blood can save. That blood can wash away sin. That blood can make Rick brother Rick. That blood can put you in the family. That blood will make you overcomer. That's God's blood. There's never been any God's blood before that. There won't be any God's blood after that. It's a one-time deal. It's precious. Precious blood, Peter said. The precious blood of Christ is what it was. And then the witness. The witness of the Spirit. We were in verse 6 here at the end of it. This is he that came by water and blood, even Jesus Christ, not by water only, but by water and blood. And it is the Spirit that beareth witness, because the Spirit is truth. Verse 7, there are three that bear record in heaven, the Father, the Word, and the Holy Ghost. And these three are one. Verse 8, and there are three that bear witness in the earth, the Spirit and the water and the blood. And these three agree in one. And then verse 9, if we receive the witness of men, if I tell you I'll meet you over at the Exxon in the morning, I may or may not be there. You can't count on it. I'm a horse trader. I might back out on you. I might change my... I might oversleep. I might just be out and out liar and not show up. But if God said, the witness of God is greater. See, if God said it, you can believe it. You can take it to the bank. You can count on it. You can depend on it. It will happen if God said it. The witness of God is greater. For this is the witness of God, which he hath testified of his Son. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself, and he that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave his Son. And this is the record. This is the record. I'd just go ahead and believe it. A lot more fun if you believe it. I'd just go ahead and believe it. It was a witness to the saints. There's three voices here going on. Now the Father, he's the great enemy, great adversary of the world. We got all kinds of help. The Father's going to help you fight against the world. The Holy Spirit, He's the enemy of the flesh. My entire life, after I got saved now, the rest of my life, I'll decide many times a day, is it going to be spirit or self? Spirit or self? Spirit or self? Which am I going to go with? And the Spirit's going to help me. He's going to help me with the flesh. And then the Son, He's going to fight Satan. That's His specialty, is to knock him out. And He's already done that. It's all over but the crying. We already won. A victory in Jesus. The water bears witness by us. There was almost a baptism today. I think someone wasn't able to get... Maybe there might be a baptism today. I'm not sure. But look, there's no such thing. The Bible knows nothing. Never says anything about infant baptism. Man come up with that. It's not in the Bible. And it knows even less. The Bible says even less about baptismal regeneration. The water doesn't save. No salvation in the water. No salvation in the water. Matter of fact, natural man will drown in the water. Matter of fact, no salvation in the water. Actually, whoever gets baptized is going to come up out of that water under the power of another. But somebody else. See, somebody else raises us up. It's a picture of salvation. Baptism is a picture of salvation. When we go under the water, that's a picture of dying with Christ, dying to the world. It's a public testimony that now we're on Jesus' side. And when we come up out of the water, it's a picture of us rising again to live our life anew with Him. Now I'm on Jesus' side. Everything He's for, I'm for. Everything He's against, I'm against. It's a public testimony. And these three witnesses here in verse 7 and 8, it's according to the law. In the mouth of three witnesses shall the word be established. It's a threefold cord is not easily broken. And it's unanimous. It's three against the world. The witness of God is greater. It's absolute. It's inerrant. It's infallible, the witness of God. You can count on it. It's credible. It's commendable. It has conviction with it. The assurance of salvation is as near as the promises of God. If we receive the witness of men, the witness of God is greater. For this is the witness which God hath testified of His Son. Now, I hate to tell you this, but there's one thing wrong with the record. Sometimes people reject it. It's not always received. Sometimes it's refused. Sometimes it's refused. And that's a bad deal right there. It's a bad deal. You wouldn't want in on that. In verse 9, we see the witness of God is greater. So the best thing Brother Rick can do is believe it. Believe it. Verse 10, we see it's in our heart. He that believeth on the Son of God hath the witness in himself. He that believeth not God hath made him a liar, because he believeth not the record that God gave His Son. It's rejected by unbelievers. In verse 11, it's clear. And this is the record that God hath given to us, eternal life, and this life is in His Son. Verse 12, it's even clearer. He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. Every word's a one-syllable word. It's my life's verse. It was my screensaver when I used to have a screen. Now I can't even afford a screen. Let me ask you, do you have the Son this morning? He that hath the Son hath life, and he that hath not the Son of God hath not life. It's that simple. Everybody's got Jesus in their heart. When He comes back, it's going up. Everybody that don't's not. I wouldn't reject the witness or the record. I'd receive the records, what I'd do. And then we end up with assurance. It's in verse 13. These things have I written unto you that believe. Any believers in here, any overcomers? Amen. On the name of the Son of God. Yes. I'm sorry. These things I've written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God that ye may know. It's K-N-O-W. That ye may know. See, it's been over and over and over in little John here. These things that you may know, that you may know, that you may know. See, God wants you to know. He doesn't want you to be in doubt about it. He doesn't want you to be up and down, in and out, backaches, headaches. He wants you to know. He wants you to know. These things have I written unto you that believe on the name of the Son of God, that ye may know that ye have eternal life, and that ye may believe on the name of the Son of God. The first believe is for eternal life. The other believe is for rent and gas money and grocery money and just a million different things where we live by faith. A job, a car, vehicle, believe, that you may believe on the name of the Son of God. He's the overcomer. It's for overcomers, those that believe. And then he's going to go ahead and answer prayer in 14 and 15. This is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears. We got the petition before us. And He doesn't just hear us, He heeds us. He listens to us. Lord, I need help. Okay. And if we know that He hears us whatsoever we ask, we know that we have the petition that we desired of Him. He hears us. And then we can pray for others. Verse 16, if any man sees brother sin a sin which is not unto death, he shall ask, and he shall give him life for them that sin not unto death. There is a sin unto death. I do not say that he should pray for it. And then, after all this, after all five chapters, now we ought to be able to be more sinless, to be more like Him. Now, we'll never be sinless until we get our new body. But we ought to be able to do better now. We ought to. In 17, 18, all unrighteousness is sin. There's a sin not unto death. And we know that whosoever is born of God sinneth not, but he that is begotten of God keepeth himself, and that wicked one toucheth him not. See, the part of you that got born again doesn't sin. Now, you got another part. It's you're like that Indian that's got black dog and white dog inside. And the one that wins is the one you feed. But we can do better than we're doing. Just go ahead and say it. 19, you know that you're born again. And we know that we're of God and the whole world lieth in darkness. And then in 20, oh, look at here. And we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us understanding. Just go ahead and underline that. If you understand something, I'm going to tell you where it come from. It come from God. It didn't come from the Sunday school teacher. It didn't come from the world. It didn't come from the encyclopedia. If you understand anything, God showed it to you. It says right here, and we know that the Son of God has come and hath given us an understanding. Do you remember when you didn't understand? See, I remember I was a space cadet. I didn't know. I didn't know which way was up. Somebody come by and show me. Dear Heavenly Father, thank you for writing it down that you give us understanding. God, we love you, Lord. We thank you. We praise you for giving us understanding in Jesus' name.